Welcome back, everyone, to this 10th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, I'm pretty good.
Awesome. For anyone who may be an audiophile, you may recognize the fact that our sound is a little bit better today.
Yay!
That's for many reasons. One is that I have a new computer, so I don't have a giant desk fan on my desk, you know, 2 feet away from the microphone to cool the computer off. So that is definitely a plus. See, what really kind of threw me over the edge, I knew I needed a new computer for a long time, but when we did that Jeff Grubb interview and the background was like, you know, yes. it was like, I need to get a new computer.
On the Massive Blue staff, man, we were like passing a hat.
I know. Justin was about to do a telethon for me there.
Yeah.
I have a new computer, so I have new cooling system that's quieter, and we're also using a new recording software today. We're going to try something out a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, now I can record on two tracks and all that, and be fancy.
You can edit out when I drop things and make noise, and
yeah, when you're yelling at people and stuff like that. Yeah.
Hey, I'm mute to yell at people. I think, don't I?
So what we're going to do in this show is we're going to make this the email show, like we promised last time, but a little bit of a change. We mentioned last time that there was the possibility that we would have an extra email show, but there's nothing really new this week. You know, there was no big class reveals or, I don't know, anything huge. So we just said, let's just make this the email show on the regular time. So we have a lot of email. I literally stopped counting after like 25-30, I think. We have a lot, and I didn't include all of them. So if I haven't read your email, either we'll get to it another time, or it was just something that's already been covered by something else we talked about. Because a lot of these emails are actually like 2 weeks old, I think, 2-3 weeks old.
Yeah, they've been around for a while.
Yeah, but you know, I figure if people are going to take the time to write an email to us, then I definitely want to take the time to acknowledge and read their email and kind of answer their questions, because I think that's only fair. And, you know, I don't know, it's so cliche to say we're here because of you, but it's the truth, you know. We do this for everyone, and so we're really glad to get the email and just keep them coming in.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
So let's since we have so many to read, let's go ahead and start with the first one. Now, this first one is from my good friend Chio.
Hi, Chio.
I say my good friend Chio because Chio's actually been a listener for a long time on the show. And like he actually says here, he says, he starts it out with the introduction. He gives us two options. Option one, hi, Sean and Ruby. Sean spelled wrong, of course, because Chio likes to do that. And option two, hi, Ruby and Sean. I have been an avid Guildcast listener from episode 30-ish or so, and I'm glad that GC is back again. When I saw the tweet announcing the return of Guildcast, I said, OMG, WTF, BBQ, !!! and so on.
I was wondering if you were going to do that verbatim. I was counting.
since I started listening to Guildcast about months before I actually purchased the game, Guildcast version 2 is setting the same hype for me with Guild Wars 2. So thanks a lot. My future college life will be occupied by Guild Wars 2. Oh yeah, did you know that I am one of the started listening to GC when I was in high school, but now I'm going off to college? Awesome. We actually have had a lot of people say that, so that's pretty cool. He says, okay, I'm done with the gibberish introduction. I believe the Ritualist needs to stay in Guild Wars 2. Why? Number one, Ritualist is my favorite class, the most important reason. And number two, my introductory guide to the Ritualist will be obsolete. just breaking in here, Chio did a whole Ritualist show one time on the old Guildcast. I don't remember what number it was, but it was an entire episode that he did pretty much, I think, entirely himself. So I think he cherishes that. I think he doesn't want to let it go. But I think I like how he continues here, and he says, not because of the bad grammar or skills being nerfed, but if Ritualists are not to appear in Guild Wars 2, then my longest non-school-related essay will be useless. I will feel the feeling of parents. Number three, it was apparent that both of you like to see Ritz come back. The power of journalism. Moving on. Reading people's guesses on what two new professions will be has been really entertaining and interesting at the same time. Well, I have a guess of my own, even though it sounds completely implausible. When I think of the Renaissance era, the first thing I see is many science breakthroughs. According to what I've heard from sources in the interwebs, Guild Wars 2 will be set in the Renaissance-like era of Tyria. So my imagination came up with scientist or engineer-like professions. If we have a fighting golem in our party, won't it make sense to have that kind of profession? Not just golems, one can set a trap or, dare I say, wooden sentry bot that shoots arrows. Yes, I admit I spent too much time playing TF2 lately. Maybe their weapons will be a torch and dagger. I doubt this class will be in Guild Wars 2, but it would be awesome. Anyways, if you read this, thank you so much for reading my email. You're welcome. I know the entire email is basically filled with my gibberish imagination, but I wanted to let you know about my guests. Thanks for bringing back my hype on Guild Wars 2. Geo.
Aw, I love that. And that's such a cool idea. Wouldn't that be neat to have, like, an engineer class?
Yeah, and I know what he's saying. You know, they have an engineer in TF2, Team Fortress 2. But they also have engineers in, like, Warhammer. You know, the engineer in Warhammer sets up little turrets. Like, he sits there and he builds these things. And then, you know, it's kind of like, I guess it's like the Ritualist where they did with the spirits, you know, where they would summon the spirits, but they would be stationary. You know, they can't move around.
Yeah.
I love that mechanic. I love playing that type of thing. I'm not sure why, but I always liked the engineer in Warhammer. So I think that would actually be a really cool idea.
Yeah, I'm sure ArenaNet will create a new class from scratch just for us, a ritualist, engineer, scientist thing. So, yeah. And you know what? I have to say too that I think we have to call him David. Because I called him Chio in game recently, and he was like, "Ugh, that name's gonna haunt me forever."
Oh, so he's he's distancing himself from the Chio name.
I guess, which is sad. I love Chio.
He'll always be Chio to me.
All right, we're gonna call you Chio anyway. Sorry, dear.
Okay, so next email. He says, "Hello, it's Shengol, and I have a few questions." Actually, he wrote a few emails, so I've kind of combined them into one here.
Awesome.
Is Guild Wars 2 going to include more raiding areas and tactics/strategy to beat a boss or certain groups without wiping? I don't believe they've addressed any of that, have they?
Well, not necessarily raiding areas, but I think there's a much heavier focus on tactics, strategy, and working with your group as far as progressing and winning. Mm-hmm. Because of the lack of a secondary class and the combination of skills, attributes, and traits, you're actually going to have to think and do things that make sense and come up with some combinations.
Yeah, yeah. That would be revolutionary, wouldn't it?
Ooh. Well, you know, we've got button mashers.
Yeah.
Okay, I want more than a button masher, and I think that's what they're giving us.
Yeah.
It's all about strategy and thinking and planning together.
I agree. Okay, so his next question, how are they going to have you earn these traits?
Isn't that what they talked about before, like the elementalist would go learn things from an arcane book, or a warrior would go beat like a big boss and learn something from him?
Yeah, I think it's kind of class specific. I think there are going to be quests they mentioned, except they're not calling them quests, so we have to be careful. But yeah, I think it's going to be... It's going to be kind of a case-by-case basis, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Number three, do you think NCSoft should add more skill slots?
No.
That's kind of a debate that's been going on for a little while. You know, a lot of people are saying that it's limited because of the fact that you have your res, you have your heal, you have your the other stuff that kind of take away from having basic combat skills. But I don't see that at all. I think that they're actually giving you more choices. Because, you know, because of the fact that, I mean, if you were going to play anyway and you have your 8 skill, slot skill bar, you're going to probably put some of those things on there anyway. So now we have 10, right?
Yeah, we've got 10. We've got 2 more to work with than we're used to anyway.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. It sounded like a much more restrictive system. But then the more we learned, the more we went, oh, this is opening up a ton of possibilities that we don't have now.
Yeah, yeah. So... I don't know. I mean, that's one of those things that people are debating back and forth. And if you want to debate that in the comments, you're certainly welcome to.
Yeah, please. I want to hear what everybody else thinks.
Yeah, and we always like that. You know, we sit here and we read, we answer these questions, and we mispronounce everything, or I mispronounce everything. But we're always open to suggestions and comments too.
Yeah, definitely.
So this other question says, should Guild Wars 2 implement more armor/weapon options? Now, I don't think we haven't really been shown, well, we've been shown a lot of them, but we haven't been shown everything, right?
Yeah, there's still a lot more to see.
Yeah, and plus, who knows what they're going to do. They could have, like they have now, with the kind of endgame weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows? They could always add more stuff like that. I'm a big fan of options, though. So
yes, I like that. And armor, I'm always up for more armor options.
Yeah, especially, and I don't think he mentions this here, but especially if they kind of implement the same die system. You know, I absolutely love Guild Wars die system.
I do too. So much to play with.
Yeah. Okay, so next question. What's loot going to be like in Guild Wars 2? Guild Wars 1 is just one item drop, and then they're not that great. Example, bosses equal drop rare items, etc. Well, they've said, I think going back to that example with the bar fight, where you can take apart the table and things like that, I think that relates very slightly to maybe how the drops are going to be. You know, I think it's going to be more specific, more specialized. To like, you're not going to be getting killing a bear and getting like a sword that drops out. I don't know. What do you think about that?
You know, I think, well, they talked about the karma system, and I think the karma system is going to replace quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
Where you just trade karma for your goodies, and it gives you more choice, which I love.
Yeah. So you don't even have to deal with that, all that stuff, because you can trade that stuff in for items.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm really on the fence about the whole rare item debate in the first place, because I hate farming greens. Well, because I don't know, are there any greens that are worth anything at this point? But, you know, whatever the flavor of the month weapon is, I hate farming that, but, oh, I do, I love shinies for my character, so.
Yeah.
It's a dilemma.
Yeah, I hope the karma system works, actually, because it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's, I actually am having a hard time seeing a drawback to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he says an auctioneering system. What's your thoughts on that? I'm all for it.
My thought is yes, please.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for getting rid of the spam in Drachner's Forge and Commandant. And, you know, it's one of those things that it. I mean, you could always turn that trade channel off, but back in my day, we didn't have a trade channel, and it's kind of spammy. Plus, you know, you have to rely on other fan sites that have forums for selling stuff, and then of course there's eBay that you know. A lot of people take advantage of and get themselves in trouble for.
Yes.
I think that an auctioneering system will help most of that, and it'll be a good thing.
Well, and the other half of that is that I can't possibly be the only person that has very limited playtime. And
yeah.
When I do have playtime, I don't want to spend it standing in Commodon trying to sell things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, set something up and go...
Go play.
Yeah. Go play another game. I mean...
Yeah. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. La, 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 la.
next question says, what's your take on the monk class being destroyed and given a little bit to every class?
From the wording, I'm going to guess you're not happy about this.
I don't know. I personally think that... I feel bad for the people who have attached themselves to monks so much, I guess. The class itself, I mean, it offers so much as far as how you play your class. I mean, there's, you know, healing bot, you know, there's stuff like that. There's the comic, you know, that was done, a while ago where it was all about the monk. I mean, again, we mentioned Loudon every single episode, but Loudon comes to mind again, a friend of ours in game, and he loves playing the monk and he's all about playing the monk. And you take that away and I think it really, I don't know, it turns a lot of people off. Just from the class itself, you know, the perspective of the title of monk, you know, the profession of being a monk, not so much the healing ability, but just the title of being a monk itself. So once you spread that out among everyone else, it really, I think it, I don't know, it seems like it's the way they had to do it. You know, so I understand that, but I'm not really crazy about it, I guess I could say.
You know, I'm kind of on the fence because... In large part because of what you said. But the other half of this is that I can think of three or four people in our guild that have a monk character, and they'll get invited to a group, and they're like, okay, I'm going to, you know, yeah, let me grab my necro. My necro needs that. And everybody's like, oh, well, we thought you'd heal.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on, you guys, I got 8 characters.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of those things, yeah. You get stuck in that, oh, which character doesn't have this quest or this, you know, mission or whatever.
Yeah, but then everybody wants you for the healing, and yeah, you don't always want to do that.
Yeah, so I guess it could go either way.
Yeah. Honestly, at the end of it, I think this is the way that it is, and there's not much to be done complaining about it.
Yep, I agree. All right, so this last question says, being like Sean, in LOTRO, the captain is the buffer class. What about the buffer classes and the no longer looking for healer, looking for tank stuff filled up in general chat? I think we just kind of covered that, where it's, I think that's good. Not needing a specific class before you can go out on a mission is always a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, I'm on board.
All right, so next on the list here, it starts out, it says, hello, guildcasters, and they put in parentheses, that avoids the whole whose name comes first thing. While there have been times I've enjoyed a good group experience, my schedule, specific in-game goals, and play style, I read all quest text and watch all cutscenes the first time seen, at least, are better suited to solo play. One of the things I've enjoyed most about Guild Wars is the henchman hero system, which has allowed me to do everything up to this point by myself without a group of live players. Has there been any information about Guild Wars 2 incorporating a similar system, thus allowing soloists to enjoy the game as much as they've enjoyed Guild Wars 1? Enjoy listening to Guildcast, to you on Guildcast as well as other shows, and I don't have a name on that. That was my bad.
Okay, I was looking, going, I wonder who this is.
I copied all these emails into a Word document to send to Ruby, and I forgot to put the name on that one.
This is like an endless Word document, too. This is huge.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I think they haven't really touched on this, have they?
Well, we're not going to have heroes or henchmen. Mm-hmm. But
they're companions we're going to have.
Yeah, we're going to have companions. And I think the scaling, they talked about scaling in battles, and I think that'll help a little bit too.
Yeah. Now, the companions, I think, are interesting. It's kind of a replacement, although they haven't said how far it will go. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you'll be able to outfit them. Do you know anything about that part?
You know, we have like zero companion details.
Yeah.
We have the very, very basic information.
It's one of those things they mentioned a long, long time ago, you know, several years ago, back when they first mentioned like World PvP and the Hall of Monuments and all that kind of stuff. So we don't know for sure. But the way they've been doing things, they're releasing, you know, these giant chunks of information in their blog, like every week, every 2 weeks, somewhere on there. Mm-hmm. So maybe there will be one dedicated to this, I hope.
That would be cool. I'm actually fully expecting some huge reveal as soon as we're done recording.
It always happens, huh?
Yeah, so, yeah. But you know what? I do have to say, I've got a couple people that I play with regularly that are just like you. They really just enjoy the ride and want to take their time and go slowly. Honestly, you can do that and not solo. So I'm going to push you to maybe check out some other players and see, because I know so many people that play like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could still be fun.
Okay, so on to our next email. This is kind of a moderately sized one. It says, hey, old Guildcast, still loving the show, though I have one complaint. This was sent a couple weeks ago, so he actually responded to this later. He says, usually appears late in the evening here in England, so I have to download it on my iPod and listen to it in bed, which makes it tricky to make notes. So why make notes, I hear you say? Well, it's what I do, else I forget some of the less obvious and subtle details that may be worth further exploration. It's a genetic thing. I have mentioned my ancestor, the Ranger Hardy, in a previous email, and he was an avid note maker and journal writer. Someday I may collate the information in those old 200 years plus journals. Seems that his was quite a story. So I would be eternally grateful if you could address this issue of your podcast release time, if only for 1 week. Well, let me break in here. It's funny because he actually did respond later, because I released another one at like 3 a.m. or something like that. It's just funny. It's essentially, we record in the morning and then it's whenever I can get it edited. But it's usually for us, it's like the evening, which I guess to England, that would be pretty late. But just here's what you should do. Just act like you don't see it, And don't check. If it's like after a certain time, just don't check. Is he actually addresses this later in the other email, but he says he just can't wait. Like, he can't see it in the feed and then be like, I'll just wait till tomorrow because it will drive him crazy. Mm-hmm. So that's a compliment to us, right?
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
Like, so he continues here and he says, thanks for reading out my last email. Almost fell out of bed. Hearing it was somewhat like an out-of-body experience. Just out of interest, I opened with Ruby and Sean because I am old, relatively, and English, and that's how I was brought up. Ladies before gentlemen.
I love this guy.
In an old... Actually, somebody talks about when you just said that, too. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. In an older email, I did allude to a certain degree of apparent antipathy toward the Ranger as the reason for this. Consider that a tongue-in-cheek comment or satirical. Now, professions. The first confirmed character was a scholar, the second a soldier. Both were core GW professions, so logically the next to be confirmed should be a core adventurer, I would guess Ranger. Fingers crossed. Hey, guess what? You were right.
It worked.
Death sounds like fun in Guild Wars 2, but I think I have bored you enough for this week, so I will leave it here, except to say that the death and near-death scenarios sound exactly how things should be. I agree.
I do, too.
I really like it. Banter on Ruby and Sean... Jack. P.S. Should you think that I should wait until next day to listen to the latest Guildcast? Come on, it's too good to wait for. After all, you wouldn't give a kid an ice cream and ask them to wait until tomorrow to eat it.
Wait, will Guildcast melt?
I think it will, actually. that's from Free Spirit. So thanks a lot. I think there are some funny little anecdotes there that were addressed. But I like when he said he had to take notes and everything, like listen to, because mm-hmm. I remember doing that for a lot of podcasts. I don't really do it mm-hmm. as much anymore, but I used to do that with a lot of podcasts where I would listen and, you know, take notes and I really like that. I kind of respect that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, but to make it work for him, we'd have to record it like 3 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, we would have to, yeah. Or I just wouldn't edit. I would just put it right up right away.
We should do a live podcast just once.
Then people will be like, go back to the edited version.
Please fix that.
Actually, I don't edit hardly as much as I used to. When I first started doing Guildcast, it was, I would, every because I don't have very flowing speech patterns.
Yeah.
And I would edit out all the and all the you knows and all the likes and the actualies and stuff.
Jeez,
that
things
I say a million times an episode, so...
Well, but that's, you don't want it to sound too stilted, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Okay, so next email says, greetings. It's from, it's your favorite neighborhood necromancer again, Mortifact Necrosis.
Hey.
This time I'm writing not to ask you guys a question, but instead propose an idea. With the Fall of Ascalon novel quickly approaching, which it's already, we already talked about that last show, but I think it would be a great idea to have the first official Guildcast book club meeting. It could be on or off the show about a week or so after the release of the novel. It could be a roundtable discussion on the major points of the book and the hints to features and storylines found in Guild Wars 2. I do think it would be a cool show, especially since there has never been a segment on lore or anything of the sort, so I thought I'd throw the idea out there. Keep up the good work, Mortifact Necrosis. Well, we kind of spoiled your email there with the last episode because we...
We spoiled the entire book.
Yeah, we did. Although I think that it would be interesting, maybe not a week after, but maybe a little while after that, to get a few people on who have read the book and kind of get a round table and talk about what we thought. I mean, especially with you, I'd like to revisit the idea and have you and I talk about it, what we liked about the book and didn't like and things like that.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Instead of me just sitting here saying, this is what happened, I think it would be cool to have a back and forth.
Yeah.
That would be another one that we'd have to label as spoiler. Okay, so on to the next email. It says, hey guys, I have a quick question for you to ponder. The post on death and healing talks about how you will be able to either be rezzed by a party member or pay a small fee to go to a rezz point. My question is, what if you are playing alone and you don't have any party members to rally or rezz you? Does that mean you have to pay money to be rezzed? And what if you don't have enough money? Aside from that question, last week someone emailed in asking about friendly fire, and you two discussed whether it would be possible. I don't think it will. In the weapons, professions, and races post, it says the elementalist might drop a wall of fire in front of the group of enemies, The warrior could enter the firewall and use Cyclone Axe, an attack which causes him to spin rapidly, sending the firewall outward and hitting his foes. This shows that warriors step into the fire and it didn't harm him. Keep up the good work, Ayanani. The friendly one, you're absolutely right. I think I don't think it's going to be in there. And actually, the next email talks about that a little bit too. But so the first question, wasn't this answered in a follow-up interview?
Yeah, it was. And I don't know if she saw that or not. But basically, if you don't have any money, you can still release to a waypoint. And as I understood it, they would take money from your bank. It's like overdraft protection. they'd take money from your bank. And it's just, it really seems like it's a tiny amount. I'm guesstimating like the equivalent of 50 gold now. Hmm. And this is another one of my disclaimers. ArenaNet has said nothing of the sort. Just, they keep talking about how it's a very small fee and it's not going to hurt you. And it just seems like it'd be in the 50 goldish range.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's how it works. You can still go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
It does. It does raise the possibility. I mean, the other possibility is that you just lie there begging passerby to res you.
Yeah, I don't see that working really. although you know, some games actually have a like an achievement or some kind of benefit buff, whatever, that helps out the people who res. There are some games that actually have achievements where you like if you res 10 people or 100 people, you get a special title, whatever. I think Ion is like that. So maybe they'll have some kind of incentive to do that and promote people, you know, helping out like that instead of always paying every time. I don't know.
You know what? It's so funny that you said that. I've never come across that in my personal, as I play. Mm-hmm. I've not come across that in any games. Somebody, the Massively Guild Wars group played together last night and somebody was telling me all about that.
Oh yeah? From where? From Ion?
We were talking because a couple of us kept dying a lot. And we were joking that somebody was only there to res. And somebody was telling me about this, that there's like achievements for resing. I had never heard of that before.
Yeah.
And now I've heard it like twice in 12 hours.
It's true. I lie not.
Yeah.
Okay, so next email. It says, hello to both of you. Can't get more fair than that, they say. Another great show again. Just one quick point. The comment on friendly fire was meant as a joke. So there you go. I doubt it would actually be in Guild Wars 2, as the idea seems to be helping each other. It wouldn't work very well if, for example, an Ellie put up a firewall and then a warrior does cyclone attack to spread the fire. Yeah, exactly. That's what Anani just said. There are two features that I'm kind of worried about. The first being the max party size of 5 for dungeons, as was said in the Joule Online. How do you pronounce that? Joule Online?
I don't know. I tried not to speak foreign languages as a rule because I sound like an idiot.
See, I don't really mind sounding like an idiot. It's my thing.
I do it enough inadvertently, so.
Well, I'll do it for you then. Secondly, anyway. The underwater gameplay. For example, what is a fire Ellie going to do underwater? Also, can Norn swim? They are kind of, he says, tries to be nice, large. I really want to know what's coming up next week. Can't wait and keep up the great work. Crisco. P.S. Skill capping is done. Woot.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, nice.
I need to know, he needs to tell us in the comments if he got legendary.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the max party size of 5, that does seem a little counterproductive as far as the progression of how MMOs are going. You know, I always hate, like, you know, APB, 4-man party. I mean, are you kidding me? I always like the 8-man party thing. And, you know, maybe it'll be like regular Guild Wars is, you know, where you get 4 starting out and then later on in the game you can get 8. So maybe it'll progress. Who knows?
That might be. I'm not that concerned about it. I think these instanced dungeon areas are the exception rather than the rule. And you've got such a massively persistent world everywhere else that I think these are just going to be like little things if you want to go do something with your friends quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could be completely off, but I think it's going to be a very small part of the game.
It would be nice if it would scale, at least. Where, I mean, I know there has to be a limit, but it would be nice if one day a game could make it to where you could get up to, I guess some games do this. You can get up to like 24 people in a group, but they're called raids. You know, they're 24-man raids and stuff like that, which, it's nice to be able to do that. I mean, managing that is a nightmare, but it's nice to to have that option where you can either solo the same quest or have 24 people in the same quest. Who knows if that's something they plan? I don't know.
Yeah. I have to admit, I would like larger group raid-style events like that. Yeah. Just because it's hard enough when you're forming a group now and you've got a limit of 8, I always seem to have to tell somebody, no, we're full, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the worst. Especially when we do these in-game things for Massively.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we want to get as many people as we can, but it's so deterring to be able to have to say, you know, sorry, mm-hmm. you know, we got 70 people here and we have to make 10 different groups. You know, it's, mm-hmm. I don't know. It is kind of bad sometimes. But
yeah. Larger group limit would be nice, I have to admit.
Yep. No. Okay. So this next email says, hey, folks. First, I'm obligated to say how much I enjoy the show. I've listened to many a specialized MMO podcast, and few of them live up to this listener's hopes the way that Guildcast does. Wow. That's quite a compliment.
That's awesome. Thank you.
The two of you have great on-air chemistry that allows for an easy back-and-forth conversation that I actually want to listen to. Now to the subject at hand. I'm sure I have dozens of questions as I only just got into Guild Wars, but I decided to focus on just this one. Something I really enjoy about Guild Wars is the way the map is handled. Rather than the often incomprehensible and oft-times useless hand-drawn map of LOTRO, there I go referencing another game, he says, Guild Wars offers what feels like a 20 miles up view. It certainly helps to give a sense of the true scale of the world you're traversing. In addition, the way that the map is revealed by sharpening chunks of blurry map, a small piece at a time, is much preferred to the this space intentionally blank or this space intentionally clouded by black fog of other games. Apologies for the long preamble, but something you already know. Has there been any evidence as to Guild Wars 2 keeping or improving on this system? The only improvement I can imagine would be increased resolution or extra blur. And if there's been no word from ArenaNet, then let's get some rampant speculation going. Mm. Oh, and Ruby is now charged with pestering the devs with questions about the map in Guild Wars 2, in addition to all the other questions that they are not yet ready to talk about.
Oh, man, that's a good question. I'll have to ask some stuff about that.
It says, feel free to edit this down to yada yada, here's the question as time requires. Oh, see, I wish I read that part first, and I wouldn't.
Anyway, well, welcome to Guild Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, I like your idea for what they could do with Guild Wars 2, and I also do like the way it is in Guild Wars 1 with the blur and everything. It's always intriguing because it's almost like you have this map that other people have explored, and you know back then you could just get this basic map drawn on animal skin or whatever, but you haven't been there specifically, so you don't know specifically what's there, and that's kind of the way it's opened. I'm a big fan of that. I'm even really a fan of the black fog kind of thing, where you don't know what's there until you actually... I mean, a lot of older games did that. Mm-hmm. I remember... I'm going to tell a little story here for a second. there's a game that I played on the Commodore 64 called Seven Cities of Gold. And for anyone who remembers that, let me know, because it's not a very popular game, I don't think, and I absolutely loved it. But you were an explorer, so you would explore the new world, essentially, and you would explore like Mexico, but it was, I don't think it was specifically Mexico, I think it was just kind of that area, but so you go out there and everything was black until you discovered it, so you would go around and you spend most of your time finding out exactly where to go and kind of connecting and getting rid of all the black spots, and I always liked that, and I think there are other games like that too, a lot of kind of like Age of Empires kind of does that. Mm-hmm. I could go on and on. But I think since that time, I've always enjoyed the discovery part of it. While I do like the way Guild Wars does it with the blur, I don't think it's enough. I think that you still know, you have a general idea of what's out there, and that complete exploring part of it is gone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you know that there's water coming up, and you know that there's a mountain, but you just don't know exactly what kind of mountain, or if there's a city in there somewhere. Right. But I like the fact, I kind of like it better if it was black and you had no idea what was in front of you. What do you think?
Oh, I prefer the blur.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Because of what you said, because other people have been there first, you have a general idea of what's happening. It makes more sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess.
The black fog irritates me. Sorry.
So there you go. Two opposing views on map exploration.
I love maps, even if they're blurred. I want to see what's out there and what the general geography looks like. So,
yeah, on the Bartle test, I think every time I take it, I get explorer. So I'm definitely an explorer.
Do you really?
Yeah. So
that's funny. So, but I think I can see them keeping it this way. This is one of those. I can't imagine how they'd improve it. Mm. I think this is one of those if it ain't broke, don't fix it things.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, cool. Okay, so this next one is pretty long. It says, "Greetings to both of you, diplomatically avoiding any hint of preference."
I like this other thing better.
I think he actually said Sean first in there. Do you see that right there?
I don't see any. My map is black there.
Nice. He says, "I am Jack, rhymes with back and tack. Should you need help with the pronunciation?"
This guy is seriously like my favorite listener. This is the same guy that says ladies first, I think.
Is it? Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that would make sense. Don't get too tied up with pronunciation. Remember, some obscure English guy once said, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." Yeah, that's pretty obscure. First off, I would like to thank you for answering my call to post up the last podcast at a reasonable hour. Yeah, this is him. That was a coincidence. I would never, ever do that just for you, Jack.
I would, but he wouldn't let me.
See, and I say that because you're Ruby's favorite, so.
Go ahead.
Sean must be a true mind-reading mesmer. My RSS updated just after 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. Guildcast/Libsyn showing a post time of 3:36 hours. Late night, Sean? By the way, the Order of Chaos Temple artwork by Daniel DeCoach looks... How do you pronounce that? Daniel DeCao?
Daniel D.
Daniel D. looks and sounds extremely mesmeric. Hey, I like that word.
That's awesome.
So onward and upward. In John and Ben Answer Your Questions About Activities, Travel, from ArenaNet blog, they state that the actual Divinity's Reach map has different sections that reflect the different social groups, sections devoted to the six human gods. So the six gods still have some part to play, at least from a human perspective, methinks. It is tempting to deduce that the six professions aligned most closely to those six gods will be present. But upon reflection, some professions are patroned by different gods according to alignment, fire allies to Balthazar, earth allies to Melandru, etc. That's interesting. Has it been confirmed that all professions are available to all races, or will each race maybe have a choice of, say, five of the eight professions? That has not been confirmed, right?
I do not believe there's...
No, I don't think it has. I think that...
I don't think so.
It's one of those topics that's in the forums a lot, though.
Yeah, and that's probably where I read it.
Yeah. He goes on and says, "One of our listeners made comments regarding Kaith's knowledge. As Kaith was a member of Destiny's Edge, one should assume that she will have acquired a reasonable understanding of all the races, their histories and foibles, strengths and weaknesses. The reverse, however, may not be the case, as the Silvari are still developing from scratch. I desperately hope that the game will reflect this, and playing a Silvari character will be both an organic and evolutionary experience, developing as we progress through the new world." Addressing that, they talk about the dream that we talked about last episode, too. So that is, the dream is how they get their knowledge. So I think that's kind of the way that ArenaNet went around that, to still give them the knowledge, but not the experience, which I am intrigued by. I think.
Yeah, that's very cool. They have the practical knowledge, and they're out there learning how to apply it and getting that firsthand.
And he goes on and says, "There's been a lot more written and spoken about existing professions than the tantalizing prospect of two new classes. Understandable, I suppose, as the Guild Wars 2 debates raging are fueled by Guild Wars 1 players in the main, and we all hope to see our favorite classes survive the 200-year-plus hiatus between timelines. I would love to see a wordsmith class that uses word combos as buffs or debuffs." I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. "I won't bore you with my thoughts on specific skills apart from the best I have come up with so far. Beam me up, Scotty, which teleports the entire party to a safe location of the speaker's choice."
Oh, I love it.
I have been a guild leader in Guild Wars for most of my 3 years playing this wonderful game, but won't be doing so in Guild Wars 2 for reasons mentioned a few times by yourselves, i.e. time. I shall pitch in with a friend who will lead most of our current alliance members in one Uber guild. I do intend, however, to recreate my Wanderers in the Wilderness guild, specifically as an alt sanctuary, so we can log on as an alt, say hi, and do our own thing. At this point, I will drift back into the ether. Cheers, my dears, Jack. P.S. P.S. I like fire ellies. They cook the bacon really crispy.
Oh, he's got good taste.
Yeah, bacon's awesome.
I agree. Ellies are awesomer.
So I guess, we addressed each question, I guess, mm-hmm. while we were reading this, but a wordsmith, what do you think?
You know, that would be kind of a fun, that would be something to play with. That would be something that would be a fun novelty profession.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think it's something
sounds like a paragon to me.
Well, I was going to say they should add it to the mesmer. And it could be kind of a mix of the Paragon shouts and...
Oh, you want everything added to the mesmer?
Yeah, I do, actually. Including a reveal.
Yes, please.
Okay, this next email says, "Hey, Sean and Ruby, this is Josh, also known as Zyrus." He even gives me a little pronunciation guide there, Zyrus.
That's awesome.
Zyrus Blackguard in Guild Wars and most other games. "Just finished listening to your guildcast. You guys are great to listen to. I do find it funny that Ruby says, after Sean reads a random, funny, quirky line from someone's email, she says, 'I love this guy,' in almost every podcast you have for this series."
And I said that about Jack like 5 minutes ago.
Yep.
Oh, it's always a good time when someone catches a verbal tic you don't know you have. And...
Yeah, it is. Anyway, I've been following Guildcast kind of halfway through the middle of your first series, then went back and listened to the ones I missed. It was sad to see you close for a time, but it's great to see you back, and at the right time, I reckon. I've started playing Guild Wars just after it was released, and couldn't stand it for a time, and I went and played other games instead. A friend brought me back to it, and I encouraged a bunch of other mates to play when Factions came out. I've really enjoyed the stories that Guild Wars has, and I really like how you can take your time to play it through. The thing I would love to see in Guild Wars 2 is Guild Wars, as in Guild Wars, where you fight as a whole guild, not just 8 to 10 players, but 30 or 50 or hundreds or more. It would be intense, I know, but it would be fun as well. The reason I say this is because that's what I expected from Guild Wars 1, and that was the reason I stopped playing for a time. And the fact that you couldn't jump annoyed me. I got used to it, though, and now I tell other people to get over it. Anyway, that's what I expected Guild Wars to be. Play the game, enjoy the story, join a guild, and have massive brawls working together to defend something or take over something. That's why I'm excited about Guild Wars 2, because it has talked about it. Again, I just hope it works this time. I'll still play if it doesn't. I enjoy Guild Wars for what it is. Before I continue, let's address that, because there are other games that have tried that. You know, Age of Conan has tried that. Warhammer's tried that. Games have tried this giant guild versus guild thing, and a lot of times it hasn't worked as well. Actually, there's a game called Aika. It's by G Potato, and it's supposed to have 1,000 versus 1,000 battles, like mm-hmm. just enormous. The funny thing is, I think the last time I heard, they haven't had enough people to actually try this out yet.
Oh no!
I know. So they're not really sure how well it works. But the way they did that, though, is they cut down on the graphics. When you make a character, you basically have 4 to choose from. So there's not a lot of variant and stuff like that. So you couldn't have a highly customizable / graphic-intensive game and have these giant, giant battles. Because you know the engines still have to render all this stuff, and it's kind of crazy.
And servers would burst into flame.
Yeah. Now, but I agree with them. I think that having that giant guild war more than just 8 to 10 players, it would be exciting. I mean, you at least have that option. And that's what we were talking about before with the quests, having raids that, you know, 24-man raids. It really adds a lot if you have that ability.
Yeah, bigger PvP, please. Mm-hmm. And that's for you, not for me. I don't PvP.
Yeah, but it's always cool to see people be able to do that. And Guild Wars 1 is such... It really does a good job of balancing the PvE and PvP, and they have mm-hmm. such a strong PvP presence, I think, that they should, you know, we hear all the story stuff and all this great stuff, but, you know, when it comes right down to it, there are a lot of people who are just kind of waiting for that PvP information. So.
Right.
Okay, he goes on. He says, "The thing I thought ruined Guild Wars was the introduction of the heroes. It killed the trust of getting into a good group or making a good group. It also made the game seem more lonely. Don't get me wrong, having customizable heroes is great, and it has sped up the process of getting through the game and questing, but it makes a massive multiplayer online game lonely. So I like the fact that they are not in Guild Wars 2. To address that, I disagree, but I understand that there are contrasting opinions on that. You know, I like the heroes. I like the fact that you can kind of build them as your own and, you know, outfit them and arrange their skills. I really, really enjoy that. But, yes, there's that downfall of heroes are better than many pugs. So it did become a problem with that, and I can see that. It's just hard. Again, I'm all about options, and it's hard to kind of force people to play together, you know. When you have things to where it requires people to get together and play, i.e. public quests, it doesn't always work out that well. And it can seriously be like a game breaker, you know. So,
you know, I have never been on that side of the fence that heroes have messed up the game. And here's why, and this just may be, this may speak to how I'm loud and never shut up ever. But I never have. If I want a group, I've got one, and I think that's probably too because I'm in a big alliance. But I'm really out there, and I just talk to people and kind of get to know them. And heroes, to me, I think are exactly what they're supposed to be for me. They're an alternative. Sometimes I'm not really feeling like I want to go play with a group. I just want to get in, hero up, do my thing, and move on with my life. But I've always viewed them as an alternative to playing with people, not a substitute, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's good to have options. So
yeah, but I just don't see how they've ruined the game because they've never replaced people for me.
Yeah, you still have that option to play. I think, you know, the argument is that you don't have as many people to play. But at the same time, I think the people who are only using heroes, they probably wouldn't join you anyway, you know, because they're kind of more into, I mean, they would probably play with friends or they would play with their guildmates or things like that. They probably wouldn't join a pug anyway, and if they did, maybe that would be the game breaker right there. That would be the game ruiner, because they would find out that they don't like pugs, they don't like random people, and they would quit the game. So who knows?
And see, that's more the heart of the issue for me. I don't pug hardly ever. I think everybody should find a really good alliance, a good, large, active alliance, and you bypass all of those issues. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what the game's about right there.
Although I have found some really good friends from pugging in the early days. So, I don't know. There's that.
I don't know. And I don't like pug snobbery anyway because, you know, if you're complaining about the pug that you're in, you're a pug too. So, anyway.
His email continues. It says, "Overall, I'm impressed with what ArenaNet are trying to achieve. I like the fact that they are trying to change the way we play the game as well as MMOs. It will bring the online game world to a new level, maybe level 3, bad pun, I know, had to put it in there, opening a new style of games to be thought of. But they are also making a game that they and us want to play, because it has the things that they want and we want to see in the games today, like environmental effects and world-changing events and random personal character storylines, and the list goes on and on. I must admit, it's been exciting to see where this game has come from, to see where it's going. And I look forward to seeing what other surprises that they have for us. Anyway, it's getting late, and I should have been in bed hours ago. Keep up the good work, and all the best, Josh."
All right, Josh, go to bed. Oh.
Okay, so our next email says, "Hi, Sean and Ruby. With all the news about Guild Wars 2 and the new Guild Wars Beyond content bringing me back to playing Guild Wars, I was thrilled to discover the return of Guildcast. Listened to the original show back in the olden days. Hey, I'm not that old. The days of yore, and I cried like a baby when it ended. Well, no, not really. I shed a single manly tear that marshaled my courage and soldiered on, but I digress. The point being, Guildcast back good. So, anywho, I was listening to episode 7, or was it 6, where you talked about the development of New Crichton, and I couldn't help but notice how you didn't really mention the single coolest piece of lore in that article, namely the invention of the printing press by the Char. the savage, cynical, military, meat-loving race of two-legged beasts. Doesn't this add a complexity to their race that's positively mind-boggling? I find this dichotomy fascinating, with their well-known warlike nature on the one hand and the invention of one of the most important technologies of Tyrian history on the other. Just think about it. Without the Char, a vast majority of the Kryton population would be illiterate. I don't know about you guys, but come launch day, I'm rolling a Char scholar. Thank you both for making the best Guild Wars podcast around, and keep up the eminent work. Arkest Stormtamer. And he says, this is my in-game name and probably a lot easier for Americans to pronounce. Thank you.
I hope that person is an ally. It just sounds like an Ellie name. It's going to be Arkest a waste. He's not. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty Ellie. I wanted to point something out here that I think is interesting, and it might be the way ArenaNet's looking at this. The printing press was invented by a German, and the Germans we know as later, after you know many hundreds of years later, are the ones who you know with Hitler and the Nazis and everything. So I'm thinking, maybe it's kind of a play on that, you know what I mean? Like where, you know, the Nazis and the Germans, even during World War II, they and World War I also, they invented a lot of really incredible stuff, you know, like the Volkswagen Bug and things like that, you know, that were, no, I mean, seriously, like that's a work of engineering, you know, master. It's a really cool machine, considering the fact that it came out in the 40s. So they also had a space race going on too. I mean, this is something I'm a history buff, so forgive me here, but so they were trying to get to space before anyone even thought about it. So that's I guess that's kind of where maybe ArenaNet is coming from there. You know, we have the Char are savage, sure, but they also are kind of intelligent in the science and engineering half of it. Although they of course they don't take over for the Asura who are the masters of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're, I mean, the Asura are funny. I love the Asura because they're so cynical.
I kind of picture them turning up their nose at the Char printing press, thinking it's just a complete piece of crap.
Yeah, the Asura probably, by the time the Char make the printing press, they've already made, like, the iPad.
You know, that is actually something that I hadn't thought of, but I love that combination of their warlike nature and this intelligence and progression that they're showing. I don't know. I hadn't thought about that, and I got a kick out of it. Thank you for pointing it out.
Well, yeah, thank you, Arkest Stormtamer.
And I really hope the Char make a VW Bug.
Yes. That's the point of this whole thing.
That would be so awesome.
Well, I mean, they have firearms, you know, and they have the printing press, and I think that it's... maybe that whole theory is completely wrong. Maybe ArenaNet's just going, wouldn't it be cool if we took someone unexpected, like these beasts, these things that look like walking werewolves, and made them the intelligent ones as far as the progression of inventions, you know, and that someone said, yeah, that'd be perfect. Nick, nobody would expect that. So
either way, I like it.
Yeah, me too. And when I make my Char, I will like it even more.
I'm still stuck on the VW Bug thing because I want your giant Char jammed into one.
Like tufts of fur sticking out every window.
Yes. And you have to have a vase of flowers in the little thing on the dashboard.
Oh, right, right. Those things are pretty incredible. They could probably fit two or three Char in there. How many Char can you fit in a bug?
That could be a mini game.
There you go.
Okay, so next.
Okay, so next it says, hello, Rune. It says, are you from Ruby, NWN from Sean? Fail.
He said fail.
Yeah. My name is Matt from Australia. Snoogie Woogie in GW. That's such an Australian name. That's so cool. I love that. And I felt like I should write in. Ruby already knows me since I sent her an email through Massively Speaking a few weeks back, and now we are friends in Guild Wars. I play World of Warcraft, Guild Wars, and Ion. I absolutely loved a little bit of the Felicia Day interview. I love her works, like the Guild, and it's cool to have a gamer actor. Anyway, I guess I will ask a question about GW2. And he says, maybe next time. What? He tricked us. Anyway, the main reason I actually wanted to write in is Sean's epic fail, in all caps, pronunciation of... Okay, I'm not even going to try to say it. He says it's pronounced more like Mauritius. Oh, that makes sense. See, and here I am saying I'm like this, you know, history buff, but I'm not so much a geography buff.
Well, you're
so
not a history buff about that place.
Yeah, so I fail. Yeah, I admit it's a big fail. It's horrible. But that's my thing, right? I have to keep saying
it. Yes, and you know, I'm not much better. You'll notice who's reading all these emails.
That's very true.
I'm very comfortable over here not mispronouncing things.
Anyway, great podcast. Keep up the good work, and I can't wait until the next episode of both Guildcast and Massively Speaking. Also, could you do a joint episode with Rame and Sark from MMO Weekly? I don't know, you four, Ruby, Sean, Sark, and Rame, are my favorite podcast peoples.
Peoples with a Z.
Yeah, with a Z. And an XD at the end. I don't know. I'm all for collaborations.
Yeah, I'd be cool with that.
Yeah. Alrighty then. Next email says, "Hi Sean and Ruby, just a quick email to thank you for all your excellent work on the new Guildcast. Sorry to say that I missed it the first time around. I sympathize with Sean's pronunciation problems. My best friend delights in creating exotically named characters that I can never pronounce right, then teases me when I trip over my tongue. Really pleased to hear GW2 guilds are character-based rather than account. I'm stuck in a dead guild due to my friendship with the guildmaster." Oh, we've all been there. "But would have loved to have joined the massively overpowered bunch on Thursdays, UK time difference notwithstanding. Thanks again. Listening to you guys has inspired me to create a new LE character in GW1. Can you believe that in 5 years I've never taken an LE into post-searing? Best wishes, Rob." Is this now your least favorite person? Or
No. I'm just so sad. There's so many things to burn that he's missed. No, but you know what? I actually want to address the whole massively overpowered thing. You don't have to join the guild to join us. We actually have a forum now, which I'm so excited about. And I'll put that in the show notes. Just check out the forum, and there's a thing about what we're doing every Thursday night. But you absolutely do not have to have that guild tag. Come play with us anyway. We want you to. Mm-hmm. And we're not that far along, so get that Ellie post-searing and bring her on up.
Yep. Yep. All right, so next email says, "Oh, hi, Ruby and Sean." I almost said Sean and Ruby, just wishful thinking, I think. "In regards to the what feature from Guild Wars 1 would you like to see removed in Guild Wars 2, I can agree on Master Togo not making a return. Insert na-na-na-na sound here. That guy is annoying, unattractive, wise in a lame way, and keeps dying. Good thing I finished factions already. And another thing I definitely don't want to return is caps lock." What? "On the internet's writing in capitals equals shouting. So instead of using obnoxious large letters, why not use exclamation marks? And might I add, not more than 3. Some people combine the two, caps and exclamation marks, which would be, in real life, impossible to shout in a human form. I trust that ArenaNet will find a way to mute those who are in need of that extra attention. End rant. Regards, Johnny 10. Okay.
Johnny's on Guildmag, if I am not mistaken.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
So, but hey, yeah, I'm right there. If we can get some sort of caps lock ban in Guild Wars 2, that would be awesome.
Or just the internet in general.
Well, yeah, but we can start. Guild Wars 2 is a start. I'll take it. Hey, I'm right there with him. I'm, you know, yeah. Shut up, people.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Okay, next one. This is from Clojumir. I hope I pronounced that right, because he challenges me there a little bit. And he's been a listener for a long time. "Hi, guys. I just want to say thanks for the podcast. I enjoy it quite a bit. Thanks for taking the time to put it out there. Hey, I have a quick thought on something that was brought up in an earlier episode. It was about the Savari kind of acting like they have generations of experience with magic, yet they've only been around for 25 years. I was thinking, if they are supposed to be in tune with nature, everything they draw from is from nature. Perhaps they communicate with nature in one form or another. If that is the case, maybe they can pull knowledge and experiences from, say, the trees that have been around for hundreds of years. If they draw knowledge from nature, they would be able to speak of magic as if they have been around for hundreds of years." I don't know, just a thought. That's actually exactly what it is. I mean, they have the dream, and they are able to pull that knowledge. But again, it's knowledge, it's not experience. So half the fun of the Savari is them, you know, like experiencing things and then going, "Oh, that's what was meant by that." You know,
I remember that.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. He he goes on, he says, sorry about the grammatical and punctuation errors. I know it bugs you when you see them. When I read emails, I have to turn editor mode off. I admit. But yeah, actually, there were none in this one.
This was actually pretty good.
Yeah, keep up the good work, Closure Mary. He says, P.S., Sean pronounced the name however you want. It's interesting to hear you hack and slash your way through names. Thanks, Closure Mary. Okay, this next one. Hey, Shuby and Ron. See what I did there? Love the podcast and love your contributions over it massively. As a player who is primarily a monk in Guild Wars, I was somewhat disappointed at the loss of my favorite class, but at the same time, I see it as an opportunity for ArenaNet to really capture the essence of a support class and make it even more skill-based and tactical. Although not having a monk class does make me wonder how it will affect the PvP structure and balance. Honestly, I think it should actually diversify the entire metagame, making builds much more fluid and flexible, allowing teams to have more freedom in creating builds instead of being forced to have two monks and dedicated healers. Which sort of brings me to my first question. You talk a lot about the PvE side of the game, but I think a number of the changes that we have seen have some extremely profound PvP implications. How do you see some of the new mechanics playing out with the structured PvP? My ideas are below. Before we read his ideas, we essentially just talked on about this a second ago. I think that we're going to have structured PvP, we're going to have world PvP, so the fact that they're breaking the PvP up in a lot more than just, you know, random arenas and team arenas, they're actually breaking up the mechanics of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited, like I was saying a minute ago, I'm excited about what they can offer PvP players. I'm a lot more of a PvE player, but I do dabble sometimes in PvP, just long enough to remind me that I suck at it. So I think that I think it's important that they're recognizing that, and you know that they're kind of dedicating so much time and energy to the different forms of PvP.
Absolutely, because it's a huge part of the game. Mm-hmm.
So his opinion here, he says, in my opinion, having half the skill bar change when you swap weapons actually adds an entirely new tactical layer to PvP within the game. Absolutely. For example, the Elementalist works by changing the attunement, which introduces an entirely new set of spells to fit with that attunement, and with each particular element having its own particular specialization and style. From my perspective, as a big PvP player, I think this type of mechanic adds a lot more depth to the combat because it does allow players to switch from a damage roll to a support roll to a control roll, and then back to a damage roll as necessary. I imagine that this will apply just as well to all the professions, but the Elementalist in particular seems to show just how big of an effect that we can have. When the other team pushes hard and a team member starts to falter, switching attunement to water would make you an instant support character, able to heal your team and potentially stabilize your team long enough to recover. The ability to change your role on the fly completely redefines the entire structure of the gameplay, bringing an entirely new dimension to the tactics that can be used. So hopefully this can be used as a jumping-off point to talk about some of the PvP implications of the changes that Guild Wars 2 is bringing, like traits, weapon skills, race skills, lack of a dedicated healer, skill combos, environmental weapons, etc. Thank you, Alan. I agree. I mean, I don't really have much more to say than that. It's he makes some excellent points.
Yeah, just as... there's just not much more to add. He did a really good job. And I'm kind of reaching, going, oh, what can I add to this? But I really do. It's just another example of that diversity and openness and more choices that we're going to have with this skill setup.
Yep, it should be good. And again, that's something that they haven't specifically addressed yet. You know, they haven't had a blog thing on that yet, but I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll have several, probably. Yeah. Okay, next email. Hi, Sean and Ruby. My name is Dan. Easy enough to pronounce, I hope, he says. Or AceFisher1, as I'm known on the interwebs. I'm an MMO player with a problem. I play all of them. All of the major MMOs, at least. I tend to pick one and play it for a month. By doing so, I tend to spend a good chunk of that month figuring out where I was on that character or restarting a new one. This has ended up with me having low to mid-level characters in all of these games and never really experiencing the best content these games have to offer. I feel your pain, Dan. I'm the same way. I'm the exact same way. I'd like to propose a bit of an idea, he says, as well as ask for help at the same time. I really want to get through Guild Wars. I love the story, the art direction, the skills, and just overall feel of the game. I can never stick to it. So I'd like a little more motivation. I'd like to join Massively Overpowered and chronicle my adventure with the guild and you guys. This would give me a reason to stay with it, as well as give me the help I need to get through the game. I seem to struggle with finding my way around the world as a whole in Guild Wars for whatever reason. I'm fine walking across Azeroth, but I am lost here. I'm not sure that it is exactly something you're looking for, but if nothing else, I wouldn't mind being able to have some friends I can depend on to get me through and badger me when they notice my absence. So if no Chronicle is possible through Guildcast or Massively, perhaps, just a shout-out to the Guildcast crew to look out for me and ask me for contact info to badger me via Raptor, Steam, or even AIM. Oh, and just so you know, I'm not illiterate, and I am indeed capable of helping or making this Chronicle. Check out some of my work. You can see my web design skills, and he gives a link there. It says, or any Guitar Center brand. Oh, that's cool. Also, I had an awesome idea for a Guild Wars-style design for a header. I'll drop it by you guys via email soon. If you'd like to do anything with my above-mentioned ideas, just email me back, and we can set up blah, blah, blah. Okay. Dan, I like that idea. I think that it would be kind of cool. If that's something you want to write up, you know, I mean, I couldn't do it for Massively, but for Guildcast, you know, something you want to write up and just kind of send it off, email it to us, and you know, we could post it on the website or something.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. And that's if we like it. I want to say just so that everybody doesn't send everything.
Be like, where is that thing you promised us?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It is important to note that we are halfway through these emails at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
So we are not going to make it through. I'm going to read a couple more here, maybe two or three more, and then we will have to add the rest to shows after that. Yeah, I thought maybe we could make it through these, but wow.
There are so many.
Yeah. But, we, you know, not that I'm complaining. Okay, so this next one says, Hey, Sean and Ruby, this is Shades Twilight, and I just wanted to say I'm a new listener to Guildcast, and I'm enjoying it so far. I've listened to all of the new podcasts out there, and the two of you are by far my favorite people to listen to. I just wanted to ask a quick question as well as share my thoughts and professions. First, there's been a lot of speculation on Threads that most of the newer classes from the Guild Wars 1 expansions will be cut out because many people feel there were a lot of imbalance. There was a lot of imbalance brought to the game through these classes. Do you agree? And if some do return in Guild Wars 2, do you think balance will be an issue? Do you think even though certain classes might share the same name as their Guild Wars 1 counterparts, that they'll be more balanced, fully evolved form of their Guild Wars 1 counterparts? Breaking in there, I would say definitely. I think that they've even said that they're going to... his email was before we said that on the last show, but they've specifically said that even though classes might have the same name as previous Guild Wars classes, they might be different still. You know, they might change them, add to them, subtract from them. And I think the Ranger was a perfect example of that with the, you know, melee combat, i.e. assassin.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's definite. Reading on here, it says, based off RB post on Twitter, that's Regina, it seems like they are revealing the profession shadows from a center point outwards, which makes sense from a cosmetic standpoint. Here is how I think the reveals will go based off of what I've read on forums and the individual shadows. And he puts a picture here of, or a link to a picture of the of what it is. But in order, he says Elementalist Warrior. Now he says Assassin next, which is not, you know, this is before the Ranger reveal. Necro, Ranger, Mesmer. And then the two new profession reveals being the two outer shadows and the last to be revealed. Now, what he's talking about with shadows, let me specify that exactly. There's that piece of concept art that's basically like a watercolor sketch, I guess you could say, of the silhouettes of different classes. And when each class is revealed, they're filling it in. So, you know, we have the Ally, the Warrior, and the Ranger right now. And from there, you can only speculate. I mean, there's little classes, there's big ones. You know, the big one, of course, being the Warrior. The little ones will probably be Asura. Savari are a little bit bigger than Asura. So we have that to go off of to kind of tease us. Again, I guess it's kind of like the map, you know, with the blur. So essentially what they're saying aside from the Ranger Assassin thing, but Necro and then Mesmer. But they're leaving Assassin in there, even though that's not a core class. That's
I'm going to be interested now to see what that particular shadow comes out to be. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm really on board with your suggestion about the Ranger Assassin combination. Mm-hmm. I think it made the most sense of anything I've heard.
I think not only that, I really think that the Ritualist and Necro will combine too.
I can kind of see that. I'm kind of rooting for the writ to stay, a pure writ to stay, mm-hmm. mostly just on behalf of Bree over at Massively. So. Poor Bree, she wants her writ so bad.
Well, yeah, so does Chiyo, like you said.
Yeah, Bree and Chiyo.
I like the writ. It's a great class.
Yeah. You just like the writ's underwear.
Well, yeah, that's the male, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this next email is a short one. It says, "Hi, Sean and Ruby. I remember the five true gods being briefly discussed in one of your podcast episodes. I'm wondering if any of the other gods will make it into Guild Wars 2. These are Doom, the Goddess of Truth, Menzies, and the Great Dwarf. Also, the different races, the Norn, the Char, the Asura, and the Savari, will most likely have their own gods as well. Simply food for thought, Nicholas."
Well, the Goddess of Truth, we know, is making it in there because it's six gods. Mm-hmm. And that's Cormyr.
Yeah. The Great Dwarf, since Dwarf isn't a playable class, mm-hmm. not sure. Doom would be cool.
If Doom does not make it into Guild Wars 2, there had better be some epic battle where do we take him down finally.
Or maybe they'll what they're doing now with where he bans gold spammers.
Oh man, I'd love that. That'd be awesome.
Special guest Doom. And I guess you could still count him as a god if he's there. But
well, you can, and I mean, you know, you can, I've heard you can beat up Doom. I've never actually managed to get down there and do it. Yeah. But I want, if Doom does not make it in there, I want something huge at the end of Guild Wars 1.
Yeah. Okay, let's make this our last one.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, and like I said, we'll get to the rest of them later. But okay, so this one says, "Hey, Sean Ruby, old-time listener. It's great to see Guildcast up and running, and love your show. Keep up the good work. I was reading about the confirmation of the Ranger class for Guild Wars 2 when I noticed the cinematic touch ArenaNet has made to the videos attached to the article, and it got me thinking. Could it be possible to add a replay feature to the game like we see in modern-day sports games, where you can enter, see the last few minutes of your gameplay from different angles, and maybe save it as a video file on your PC? It's probably not that easy to make such a feature for MMOs than it is for single-player games, but I personally would love that mechanic to be added. What do you think? Sincerely, Falcon Windcraw." And I like his PS here. He says, "Sean, I still have the Wicked Hat customized to your character Guildcast in my inventory, and I love it."
Cool.
Do you remember that?
I do. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I did that for a few different events where I gave away items customized to my Mesmer Guildcast.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it's just, you know, it's a useless item. You can't really use it, but you can have it in your inventory as kind of like a souvenir of the event and everything. So
yeah, cool. That was an awesome idea.
That's cool that he still has that. I like that.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, as far as this question, I don't think that would even be possible in an MMO, although I'm trying to think. It seems like there was a game recently where you could do that. Maybe it's APB. I think it might actually be APB, where you can get... Oh, Lego Universe. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but Lego Universe does that too. Free Realms kind of does that. They have a video feature. It's not... You have to set it up first, I think. But
yeah.
I like that. I like the idea. I'm not sure how practical it would be as far as just having something that's always recording, you know, where you can, like TiVo for MMOs, you know?
Would be so cool, though.
Yeah, it would.
I would love
but
that.
They have discussed, the observation mode, what do they call that? Yeah, observation?
Yeah, observation mode for PvP. Yeah. Not that I am aware of. They just haven't talked a ton about PvP.
Yeah, so maybe once they talk about that, they'll talk about an observation mode.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
And that, again, that was something they added later on in the game. You know, that wasn't originally in the game. So, who knows?
I would love that. I'd love it in PvE.
Yeah.
I'd be huge.
Well, and changing camera angles would be great so you can get the minions out of the way when you're trying to
Oh my gosh, stupid minions.
All right. Well, like I said, that's going to be our last email. Kind of ended on that note. And I'm literally, we are halfway through these emails. So
yeah, there are so many more, you guys.
So if we don't get us another specific email show out sometime as an extra one before next episode, then we will address a large chunk of these at a time at the end of each episode. So
that sounds good.
Yeah, because I don't know. I personally think that going too much more than an hour on a podcast is a little much. So
yeah, but this was episode 10, so we got to do something a little extra.
Yeah, good old 10. Well, for episode 100, we'll have to do.
We'll read the rest of these.
Yeah.
Well, hey, remember when we didn't know what the classes were? Here's some emails from there.
One thing I wanted to say, though, before we go, is I want to ask people to send us in your questions, anything you want to know about Guild Wars 2. Not only, you know, in these emails we get here, and this actually is why I'm mentioning this, is because we read a lot of these emails that we just don't know anything about, you know. And it's not so much that we don't know, it's that they haven't said anything yet. So what I want to do, even if you've already written an email to us about a topic, is to resend it. Send an email to sean@guildcast.com and put in the header developer questions or something, you know, with those words in it, developer mm-hmm. questions, so that I'll know. I'll put those aside and we'll get those together, let's say for next week, so that we'll in two shows from now, we'll hopefully be able to have the answers to these. And what we'll do is we'll get these questions, we'll put them together, and we'll send them off to ArenaNet, and we'll see if we can get these things answered. It's important to note also that there's a good chance that most of them won't be answered. You know what I mean? They release information when they're ready. Mm-hmm. We can sit here and ask them all the questions we want about specifics, but they're not going to answer them, usually unless it's about a topic that's already been discussed. So if you want to know a little bit more about death, you know, and that mechanic, you can ask that. If you want to know about the Ranger, Warrior, Elementalist, you can ask that. You just can't really ask, like, well, what spells are going to be with the Mesmer, or, you know, because that's something I can tell you right now, what they're going to say is that we're not ready to release that information mm-hmm. yet. So if you get those questions together for us, we'll send them out and we'll see what they say. We'll see what they answer, what they don't answer, and try to get as many answers as possible and read them on, you know, we don't know for sure, but we'll say probably two shows from now or so, somewhere around
as soon
there.
As they get back to us.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that?
So I think that would be fun, don't you?
I absolutely. Yeah. I love it.
Because we get, like I said, we get so many that are asking us things. And even if they're saying, hey, can you ask ArenaNet this? I just really like to get it in one centralized place that's, like, organized mm-hmm. and out at once. You know, and maybe we could do this again another time, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We get so many emails. We'd certainly have enough to work with.
Yeah.
So I'm on board.
Cool. Awesome. But that is about all we have time for today. Let's see, you can email us either sean@guildcast.com or ruby@guildcast.com mm-hmm. or both. You can check us out on Twitter and Facebook, which we have linked in the show notes of every show. And the show notes, of course, you can find at guildcast.wordpress.com. And I think that's about it.
I think we got everything. I think we're like talked out, which is unusual.
I certainly am. And I hope this recorded with our new recording software.
Oh my gosh. That would suck. All right. Well, you did a really good job reading emails. Everybody say, yay, Sean.
Yay, Sean. Woo. Oh, wait, not me.
Not you. But you can say it, too. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. See you, everyone.